Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. What is the view of the spirit world concerning events on earth? We know the angels existed before humanity, and they have been observing this planet for thousands of years. Lucifer rebelled against God, and humanity was created to prove God's righteousness. The struggle between good and evil has seen victory and defeat on both sides. The Bible says that angels look curiously at humanity because we are made in the image of God. Down through the millennia, they have observed generation after generation haphazardly live for the moment and throw away their future. Why does mankind fail to comprehend that time on earth is fleeting and there is an eternity that waits after death? Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
The Holy Spirit told me this. Up to now, you've been talking about things from underneath where we are in the world. He said, I want you to move up into the spirit world, move up to our level that they are, the angels are, and look down upon earth and see what has happened so you can pray effectively knowing the spiritual battle. And I wrote this here. In the previous NIP bulletins, we performed a broad sweep of the spiritual climate of the United States after the Civil War and up to the end of the 19th century. And this week, I want to share how the holy angels, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, God the Son, how they look at things at a time. And we begin by looking at the devastating war prior to Adam and Eve. So in order to get the correct perspective, and I'm not going to read Bible verses today. I have all the Bible verses listed on the NIP bulletin. It's on there so you can read them. Because that will not take too much time to read. I got a lot of scriptures there. So in order to get a correct perspective, let's establish events in the light of God, God's timetable given to us by the Apostle Peter, in which he stated, a day with the Lord is 1,000 years for mankind. Now some of you take exception saying this is clearly a symbol and should not be taken literally. I do take that literally. Why would Peter be given a revelation from the Holy Spirit that 1,000 years is one day for the Lord and one day for the Lord is 1,000 years? What for? Just to fill space in the Bible? I believe there was a message. If we understand that concept of 1,000 years for God is one day, 1,000 years for us is one day for the Lord. Listen to this. It's been about 13 days since the refurbishment of the earth at the creation of Adam and Eve. Prior to that event, there was a devastating space war that raged through the entire universe and ended with the defeat of Lucifer and his angels that sided with him. Just like the broadcast that the Nuremberg tried after World War II, when they tried the Nazis, so to the remaining holy angels watched the judgment of Lucifer on the Galactic Television Network. This is my imagination now, because I know this. What we have here is a replica, of a rough replica within the spirit world. And the Bible says that when one person is saved, all the angels are rejoicing. So they are watching us. Now, after receiving the sentence, Lucifer simply objected and said he appealed. God is not fair. He is not a just God. And was God truly righteous? Now, all this had been seen during the Godhead's virtual time run before the creation. And if you haven't heard me talk about that before, I did a series called The Origin of Jesus, 100 sermons. And I did that running that as a virtual time run before the creation was started. As a result of the revolt and the war, Jesus refurbished the war-torn earth, and he created Adam. He was special because Jesus created the first man in the universe in the image of God. Angels are two, spirit and body. We are triune. We are created in the image of God. Now, round one that we have on page number two, and I run this like it is a boxing event here. So in order to prove his righteousness, the God that had to give Lucifer access to the human race. Understand this now. You and I are here not because it is good for us to be here. We are here to do a job. Our job is to prove God's righteousness. When you accept Christ and are born again, you are proving God's righteousness. Now, according to my understanding of 1,000 years and a day, Adam and Eve were created in the sixth day. If you read in Genesis, all the animals were created in the morning of the sixth day. And then in the afternoon, Adam was created and then Eve. What happened after the sixth day? Well, the Bible says that God took a day off. He took off 1,000 years, which then give us the understanding that Adam and Eve were created in the 6 days. We don't know how many hundreds of years they had in the 6 day, but they had 1,000 years in the garden before Lucifer showed up. They had children. If you read in Genesis, you find out that after the fall, we had the birth of Abel and Cain. And the Bible doesn't say that these were the firstborn. They simply said that Eve had a son, Cain, and then she had Abel. And when Cain killed Abel, he told God, I'm scared because they are going to come and kill me. Who's he talking about? And God put a mark on him and said that no one is going to kill you. And then Cain went to a city called Nod, got a wife there. Where did she come from? Where did the people come in that city? And the Bible also says in Romans that when Adam sinned and fell, he dragged with him all his offspring that had not sinned. They were made sin, and the whole human race became sinful. So the first round was won by Lucifer. Now, round number two, Lucifer decided, I'm going to stop God doing what he wants to do. I know he has something, he's going to redeem this race of humans. So I'm going to pollute them. I'm going to bring in fallen angels. They're going to have sex with the women. And we're going to create a race of human angels. And since there's no redemption for angels, I'm going to force God to give up the human race or give me an opportunity to be pardoned. How long did that go on? 1,600 years. In other words, about a day and a half. And after that day and a half, it says in the Bible, God looked down, evil was only continually, and Jesus said, we got to wipe them out, flood the earth, the second flood. The first flood is in Genesis chapter 1, 2. And only Noah, his three sons and their wives, eight people, came out alive. So round 2 was won by the Godhead. But the entire human race was wiped out, except eight people. That was not a good win. Round 3, Lucifer now changed his tactics. And since he simply said this, that the way I'm going to do this now is I'm going to create religions. And he started with a world religion, the city of Babel. They tried to build the tower, and they were going to build it to heaven. And the world government under Lucifer was in the works. Jesus came down, confounded language, scattered the people. And round number 3 was won by Jesus. Now, round number 4, Lucifer realized this. I'm not going to give up. I got to pervert people. He has a religious department. Do you know that there's about 7,000 religions on the earth today? He has a religious department. They've been writing religions for many years, and they're still writing new ones. And so they simply wrote the religion for every different language group, where they were in the Pacific, South America, North America, Africa, whatever they were. There's a religion. And think about this now. There has never been a human group that believed in atheism. There's never been a group of people that simply believed that there is no God. They had a religion. They had a deities. Isn't that strange? Satan did not create any group to become atheists. They all had a God. They all had to pray to him. They all had to sacrifice to him. So Lucifer knew this. It's going to take at least 2 generations, 3 generation max, to effectively wipe out the memory of the people. They will not remember the flood. If you go into history and archaeology, you will find that the story of the flood exists a little bit here and a little bit there, but it has been polluted. So no one there. Satan works on people, you know that. And so I want to talk to you a couple of minutes here about Noah. Noah was a man of God. Noah was a preacher. For 100 years before the flood, when they were building their ship, he was preaching. Repent. Repent. He knew about God. He served God. So Noah got saved through the ark, came out the other side. Noah was depressed when he came out the other side. The Bible doesn't really give us a verse on that, but it would be obvious if you can think about that there were at least 600 million people on the earth prior to the flood, minimum. And imagine all of them wiped out, all the animals wiped out, all the birds wiped out. Everything wiped out except what he took on the ark. And Noah, after he stepped out of the ark, was an empty earth. There was nothing there. So what did he do? He started a vineyard. He got wine. The Bible says he got drunk. I believe that Noah lived about 200 years or so after, but he simply didn't care anymore. He just had his vineyard. He did not set up an educational system and say to his sons, listen, look, sons, we need to set up classes. They had written down the Bible. They had a Bible. They also had a book of Enoch. And he didn't set up classes. He didn't care. And in three generations, people on the earth had forgotten the flood, about God. And each one had got his own little God that they made stone images of, or wood images of. And they went there and worshipped and sacrificed people and animals. And they lived in La-La Land, the whole earth. Now, so Lucifer won that round. So round five was much longer period of time. And when we had round number four ended, actually, the fourth round would last for some 2.5 days, or 2,440 years. And it ended, so excuse me, round four went to Jesus. That's when he was crucified, resurrected, and he simply triumphed over Lucifer. So after Jesus was resurrected, Lucifer was livid after being stripped of his power as a prince of this world. He was humiliated before all the angels, holy and unholy. His disgrace was broadcast across the galactic television network. And this filled him with more hate for the Godhead. Satan hates God. He hates you, because we are made in the image of God. The different false religions could not compete with Christianity. How can you compete with the Holy Spirit? You can't. And he used the Jews, Jewish leadership, to kill off the Christians. He used the Romans to kill them off. And the more they were killing Christians off, the more they were growing. And then he simply decided this. He couldn't stop the Christian faith, the church that you find in the book of Acts. For the next 100, 200 years, Satan tried to stop them, and he couldn't. Round six, I'm on page three now. Lucifer held an emergency meeting with his cabinet of fallen angels. And someone in the group came up with a brilliant idea. If you can't beat them, join them. You ever heard that? And that's when Satan got together a number of bishops, and simply they were told this by Constantine, who was running for emperor. If I become the head of the church, if we make this a state church, there will be no more persecution, and Christianity will be a state religion. More than 500-600 bishops left Rome in disgust and would not have part of it, and they were persecuted relentlessly. But enough did join. And so in 325, the Roman Catholic Church was birthed, and the Pope was running it, and every Pope was possessed by powerful demonic forces. Satan was happy. He said, "Now I hijacked the church. I'm in charge of the church." And they clamped down. And he simply said this, "We're not going to have, our worship service is not going to be in the language of the people. It's going to be in Latin. And they're going to have a Bible, but it's going to be in Latin. And Bible's not going to be allowed to the people. We're going to chain them up." Each church building had a Bible chained to the pulpit. Only the priest could open that and he read it, but it was in Latin. Do you know that the Roman Catholic Church, I believe up to about 1960 or so, every Mass was in Latin. And Catholics would go to church. They could not hear and understand the sermon. They could not hear nothing. There was Latin. They just went to get the smoke and the dope, so to say. That's all they got. And in about 1960 or so, they changed it to have their service now in the language in what country they are in. So the sixth round was won by Lucifer. He held the Catholic Church for 1,100 years, more than one day. 1,100 years, round seven. The Godhead knew we have to intervene. And they intervened through the Holy Spirit. They found Martin Luther, a Catholic monk, and they had him to read Romans, the book of Romans. And when he read chapter 10, he realized salvation is by faith. And Martin Luther was not only saved, but he asked God to forgive him, he asked Jesus to come into his life. He was also baptized in the Holy Spirit. The power of God was so strong that the Reformation began, and the stranglehold of the Romanism, or the Roman Catholic Church, was successfully broken. Luther translated the Bible into German, with Johannes Gutenberg's discovery at a printing press. Bibles were mass-produced and put in the hands of the common people. This was devastating to the devil, because now suddenly people had the Bible in their hands. About 100 years earlier, Jan Hus, a Czech theologian and preacher, was burned at the stake when he began to preach salvation by faith in Christ. William Tyndale was a contemporary of Luther who lived in England and translated the Bible into English. And Lucifer ordered him burned at the stake as well. As this revival started now, Lucifer got insane. You might say, well, how do you know that? Listen, I have fought Slewfoot for 50 years. Demons are ruthless. Principalities of power are ruthless. They just tear you up. They are absolutely ruthless. They possess people that are ruthless. And he was insane with anger when he met with the leaders of his religious department. He reminded them that they had been able to put the lid on the Christian movement, and now the Holy Spirit was all over Europe. What could he do? He ordered a war. Most people living in America today do not remember the 30 years war in Central Europe. For 30 years, the war raged in Germany, Poland, in Central Europe, and people died. 8 million soldiers and civilians died. Disease ravaged the civilian population. And 50% of the German population died in the war. Lucifer was ruthless. It has to go. The Protestant movement has to go. Then he had waged 80 years of war between the people of Holland and the Catholic government in Spain that lasted from 1568 to 1648. Spain eventually had to give it up, and Holland became Christians. They became Protestant. And right now, they have fallen away. But the Roman Catholic Church was driven out there. There was also a move of God in France, which most people have really not thought about or actually studied. And it led to about 1 million people got born again in France. And they became known as Huguenots, as this movement started slowly. Shortly after Luther started the Reformation, Lucifer decided he was not going to cede France to Jesus. And pressure was brought to bear on the Christians to re-embrace the Catholic faith. The Roman Catholic Church was ruthless in France. And they killed them left and right. The Huguenots rebelled against the king in 1620. The rebellion was suppressed 65 years later. Hundreds of thousands fled to other nations, many of them to America. Even with the bloody cult of the French Revolution, the Huguenots managed to survive. It is estimated that there are 1 million in France today, where they still have their churches. Their political influence is minimal. Now, they kind of got stale, just like the Lutheran Church got stale, the Methodist Church got stale, and so on. And the Presbyterians. So Satan infiltrated these churches and simply was able to quench the fire. As we look here now on angelic study of humanity, and this is now where I want you to move up with me in the heavenlies. Angels do not reproduce, and they are genderless. Since there were some kind of people on the earth prior to Adam and Eve who lived under the regency of Lucifer, my assumption is that this situation was not unique, but common throughout the different angelic civilizations. Now, some of you might be a little bit shocked and say, well, where are you out in the tulip on this? If you read the account from Isaiah, chapter 14, and you read Ezekiel, chapter 28, both prophets received information from the Holy Spirit of life prior to Adam and Eve on this earth. Basically, Lucifer had been the regent on this earth. And before he rebelled, the Bible says he went up into heaven. He was part of leading worship, just like you had in the temple later on. You had priests, you had different orders, and the priest would serve for, let's say, a month or 2 months, and then they go home, come back the next year. So Lucifer was leading worship in heaven. At the same time, he was running the earth. He was the regent here, the king. And there were people on earth. There were kingdoms, commerce. There was all kind of things. And when Lucifer rebelled, he also took with him most of the people that were on earth at that time, because they went with him. Some of them did not, because the Bible says that he had prisons. He took people prisoner and put them in there, just like people do today. You have a political opponent, indict them, put them in prison. Prisons are full in Russia, they're full in China, full in Cuba. We got a whole bunch of people after January 6th in prison. So that's what Lucifer did. And so the angels had watched this. They knew this. And they have observed now, I'm on page 4 of the outline here, that the human race could live 120 years. This is what I saw in the spirit when I wrote this down. Angels looking down upon a baby, and simply saying, that baby can live max 120 years. That's it. After 120 years, he will die. And that human being, the soul, which is a real person, will simply go to heaven, or he would end up in hell. So the angels see that. And they are watching the earth now, and they're simply saying this. What's wrong with the human race? What's wrong with them? They live here for 120 years. They die, and most of them go to hell. What's the problem with them? When a human dies, his soul is taken to heaven, if he's saved by grace or faith. Otherwise, individually goes to hell at the moment of death. And the human body has a beginning when it's created, but the soul is eternal. So angels have a very difficult time. I'm talking about the holy angels now. To understand the human mentally and our behavior. Are we stupid as people? Let me talk about myself as an example. I was born in a home where Dad was a Christian. Mom was not. Dad was a backslidden Christian, and there was no Christianity in our home. What we got from my grandmother and my aunts. Now, as a young boy, I simply did not know anything, and I just rolled along. God met me at the age of 3 when I had an encounter with Jesus. Had another encounter at the age of 4. When someone led me to Christ. And then I had some other times when God simply talked to me and touched me again. So I realized I was saved. I wanted to be saved, and I would say it's a miracle that I got saved. Most people living in the world today, if you go out to the streets and ask them this, do you believe in God? And I've said, most of them would say no. What do you know about Jesus? Oh, just some historical figure. What's going to happen when you die? Oh, I died, that's it. There's nothing after death. It's just the earth. We got this life now, there's nothing after. I would say that most people living in America and in Western Europe, where we had Christianity, do not believe in God. The Muslims believe in God, but they had the wrong faith. They're going straight to hell. Other people in Africa and so on have the same thing. So now, the angels are looking down and realizing this. To be a human is very dangerous. To be a human is extremely dangerous because maybe 1,000% of people living on earth will find Christ and be saved. The majority will die without Christ. I'm going to have you take the Bibles and turn me to Revelation chapter 20. That's Revelation chapter 20. And I want to read these verses because, so you might ask, you now, what am I driving at this morning here in this message? Here's what I'm driving at. Maximum life is 120 years. If you die without Christ, you go to hell, later the lake of fire. As Christians, I don't think that we talk too much about hell. I don't think we talk too much about the lake of fire. We simply, that's not a subject we'd like to talk about. So, what I have seen over the years of 50 years is this, that once a person gets saved, you get comfort in the church, and you have relationship, there's worship, there's this and that, and so on. And you live a life different from the rest of the world. You are a church person. And you love God, and you want to serve Him. But there is not a deep understanding that the guy that lives next door to you, the guy that pumps you gas at the service station, the person that checks you out at the grocery store, they're not saved. And when they die, they go to hell. Somehow, the devil has made us callous in a way. We say, yeah, I know that happened. But we are not emotionally evolved. It's like, I don't care if these people go to hell. I'm going to heaven. My children are going to heaven. We're doing good. I don't care about these people. That's another way the devil has simply dulled the Christian to not understanding that the people you work with during a week are not born again, and they die, and they are destroyed. Let me read right now from Revelation chapter 20, and I'm going to read it from verse number 11. And this is after the 1,000-year kingdom. And I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they will judge every man according to their works. There's going to be a day on this earth where everyone that have died will be resurrected. From Adam and Eve and all the way up to the last person living. The Christians, at this time, we have gone through the 1,000 kingdom. We have been taken up prior to the 1,000-year kingdom. We go through the judgment seat of Christ. We're not going to be here. those people that accepted Christ during the tribulation, they will be here, or accepted Christ during the thousand-year kingdom. But can you imagine now people from the time of Adam and Eve and all the way up, all languages, all nations, standing some kind of an open place, billions and billions, and everyone is called forward, and they check with their computer system, is your name in the book of life? If they don't find your name in the book of life, you're not born again. Automatically, you're sentenced to the lake of fire. But that's not the worst. At the same time, these people will be sentenced for what they have done. If they had murdered, been stealing, lying, cheating, every sin they committed will be measured. And here's what I want you to grab right now. They all will go to the lake of fire, but they will have different punishments in the lake of fire. There's going to be degrees of punishment in a lake of fire. Think about that now. It's bad enough to go to the lake of fire, but there are different degrees of punishment. The more evil you have done, the more punishment you will have. As we stand there and we see people coming up to our lifetime when we were on earth, you're going to see the lady at the grocery store that checked you out when you were shopping. The guy at the service station, you're going to see him. You're going to see all the people that you simply were with here on this earth. And you're going to say, he didn't make it. And he's going to look at you and say, you didn't tell me. You knew about this, but you never told me. And what are you going to say? I didn't want to offend you. It was not time. You were not open to it. I couldn't tell you. I really want you to think about that today. I want you to change your behavior. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. They were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whoso was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. What an end. What an end for people that have lived here. Like I said, the most dangerous position a created being could have is to be a human being. It's very dangerous. You that are in the chapel today, you are blessed. You have made your peace with God. You're born again. You that are watching us, that are born again, you have made it. But most people have not and never will. What do you think a person feels like when he comes to the place of the white throne? He's sent to the lake of fire. He's taken to the lake. He's positioned in there by holy angels, whatever he's going to be fastened, and the torment he's going to have. And then he realizes it's over. It's over. There's no way back. I'm going to be here. Not for a week, not for a day, but for eternity. For eternity! Can you imagine the horrible feeling, the anguish, if that was you? Shouldn't we be more working harder to share people with Christ. If we fail or not, just give another word. It's important. God's the one that gives the increase. It's God that saves them. But we are the messengers. We are the ones that need to bring the message out. Somebody brought the message to you. Somebody told you about Jesus. You need to tell someone about Jesus in your lifetime. We're going to be praying here now for people. And I just want to share this with you, that all of you know that Dianne Feinstein died this week. She was Jewish, strong Jewish faith, and all her life she rejected Jesus as the Messiah. She wanted nothing to do with Jesus as the Messiah. And Thursday, when she passed away, her body died. Dianne was picked up by angels. And I'm sure that she said, "Who are you?" "We are God's angels." "Well, what happened to me?" "Your body died." "Well, what are you going to do with me?" "We're going to take it to hell." "What? I don't believe in hell. I'm a Jew." "Listen, ma'am, this is where you're going. No buts or ifs." They shackled her. They took her down. Here she came, United States Senator. On every day, it's about 500,000 people dying. Hell is a busy place. They got a big place. There were a lot of booths where they're checking them in. She came in and said, "I'm a United States Senator. I've been the mayor of San Francisco. I have San Francisco value." And they're going to tell her. They told her this. "Who cares? Here. It doesn't matter." Her mind was opened up. She knew about Jesus now. She knew about the lake of fire. And she realized that as a Jewish person, she had been lied to by her parents, by the rabbis. And the curse goes back, all the way back to the time of Jesus, when he was crucified. And the Jews cried out, the leadership, "Let his blood come upon us and upon our children. Just kill him." And that blood came upon them. Now we are some 2,000 years down. They're going to give a great funeral. They're going to have great speeches. They're going to show some movie clips, how nice she looked and so on. That's on this earth. But in hell, right now, she's already been chained. The flame has already been turned on to her. She's already started screaming. And she learned this. "I'm lost. I lived for nothing." Dianne Feinstein lived for nothing. Because she lost everything of eternity. Think about that. So we're going to pray. And we're going to pray for a little different here today. We're going to pray again for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and Jeffrey Sunt. And then I'm going to pray for the situation we have right now in Washington. Well, this will conclude the message for today. And so here's what I want you to take home that are watching us. If you are not saved and you by chance just tuned in to see what we do, and you're convicted by God that Jesus is the Son of God, here's what you can do right now. Just confess and say, "I'm a sinner. God, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on the cross, rose on the third day, and through his death and resurrection, I can be saved. Come on in, Jesus, and save me right now. And Jesus will. If you pray that prayer, then will you let us know? When we finish here, you will see the screen will change for you watching. Three crosses will come up, and you will hear the voice of Pastor Charles saying, "My friend," and he will spend 10 minutes with you. You will not see him, but you will hear him. You spend 10 minutes with you to make sure that you are saved. And if you make the decision today, would you contact us? I'd like to rejoice with you. And to those of you that are faithful, that are serving God, working with God, different capacities, take this afternoon. You got the NIP that you can download for the website. Go through that. Think about it. I have a lot of Bible verses in here. Look them up. And then ask yourself this. Am I what God wants me to be? I want you to remember this. Somebody gave you Jesus. Somebody led you to Christ. Will you be somebody that would lead other people to Christ? I wish you would. May God bless you. Carol, will you come up and close in prayer?
Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you paid the price for your people to have salvation. And you gave us up to 120 years. And so many will end up saying, "What did I do with my life?" Father, I just pray that you would take this message, let it sink into our very soul, and let us just rejoice in you that you have saved us, and that we are going to be with you in eternity. And I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you'll die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person, doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's Ten Commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You have been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was entitled, "The Struggle Between Jesus and Lucifer." What is the view of the spirit world concerning events on earth? We know that angels existed before humanity. They observed the rebellion of Lucifer, the space war, the refurbishment of the earth, and the creation of mankind to prove God's righteousness. If Lucifer had never rebelled, the human race would never have been created. But it did happen, and Adam sinned, so here we are. The struggle between the Godhead and Lucifer has seen victory and defeat for both sides. Angels have a hard time grasping the human mentality concerning eternity. Why does mankind fail to comprehend that their time on earth is fleeting, and eternity waits after death? Why would a man, ostensibly made in the image of God, choose to live in the moment and throw away his life because there is no eternal perspective? The final outcome for the unsaved is the second death in the lake of fire. Why would anyone willingly embrace such a future? This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1931. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org.
There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.